Amen. Is on? Yep.
Can you do the pocket? I don't feel
comfortable. You're not doing for pocket, bro? Hey, come on, man.
I love you, bud.
Come on, man. Amen. God is good? Amen. You know, I'm excited to be up here as I always am. You know, man, life is good today. Man, I was just sitting there thinking about angels. You know, the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to serve those who will inherit salvation. You know, think about that. God already knows we're going to inherit salvation because we're predestined from the beginning of time. So each one of us have angels on assignment to serve us until we get there. Think about that. How many near, close-to-death experiences that we've had? Some we don't even know about. But we're surrounded by God's heavenly host. Man, that's good news. I don't know about y'all, but my angels are probably wore out by now. They said, dude, give me a break, man. They're probably wore out. Anyway, man, so look, there's this story of this old Pentecostal woman, right? She's holiness. Man, just love Jesus, man. Just widowed, husband died. She prayed every day at noontime with her window open. She'd open up her window and she would pray. And she had an atheist man that lived next door. So one day she was out of food. She needed food. So she goes by her couch, by her window, and she starts to pray. Well, she didn't know this, but the atheist was outside hiding behind the bush to listen to her. So she starts to pray. She said, Father, you know I don't have no food. Father, you said you're my husband. You said I'm married to you. I'm your bride. So I ask you, Lord, I need food right now. And I know you can do it, God. God, I know you can do it. So, Father God, I'm just going to just lift my hands to you and trust you to be Jehovah Jireh in my life. The old atheist next door, he's listening. He goes, ha, there ain't no God. Next thing you know, about 2 hours later, old widow woman gets a knock on the door. She goes and opens the door, and there is food everywhere. Bags of groceries everywhere from H-E-B. And she just goes, man, she starts saying, man, she just lifted a hallelujah. Said, he did it. He did it. He did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. And all of a sudden, the atheist jumps out from behind the bush. He goes, stop, woman. You're crazy. God didn't do anything. You see this? I took my credit card. I heard your crazy prayer. And God's not real. So I took my credit card. I went to H-E-B myself. I went down the aisles. I picked out the groceries. I put them in the cart. I went to the checker. I used my money to pay for it. I loaded them in my car. I came over here and I put them on your porch and I rang your doorbell. God didn't do anything. The woman says, he did it, he did it, he did it, he did it. And the guy says, lady, you didn't hear me. I told you I took my credit card, I went to the store, I put the groceries in the cart, I paid for them, I brought them back, and I put them on your porch. She goes, he did it, he did it, he did it, and he made the devil pay for it. Come on, that's the kind of God we serve, amen? That's the kind of God we serve, right? That's who we serve. He can take what was meant for evil, and he can use it for good, amen? Amen. Tonight I want to talk about five words that start with the letter P. So if you want to give this a message, a title, it's the five P's. I want to talk about five words that start with the letter P. We all experience it. We all have access to it. And we all can be part of it. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. He did it, he did it, he did it. And, hey, you know you're getting old when a friend buys you a Bible, and they don't buy you large print, they buy you giant print. You know you're getting old. And what's so sad, I still got to wear glasses to see it. That's bad. Mark chapter 4, Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 4. Amen. I don't know who made them cookies, well, I do. They made my mouth so dry, it's unreal. They were good. Where's she at? They were good. I need some water. Mark chapter 4. I think we're starting verse 35. Y'all ready? Amen. Since that day when evening had came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there was also other little boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we perish?" And he got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And then he said to his disciples, "Why are you so fearful? Why it is you have no faith?" They were terrified, and they said to each other, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you be glorified. God, Lord, you know what we need to hear. God, you know each heart, Father God, in this room. So I pray today that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what you want to say to us tonight, Lord God. Father, I ask that you speak to us. God, speak to us tonight, Lord God. We are people that are hungry for you and hungry for your word. And Lord, I just pray that your presence would just be manifested in this place tonight, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it said that day when evening had come, he said unto his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." First P, Jesus gave him. He gave him a promise. He gave him a promise. He said, "Let us cross over to the other side." He told them they were going from point A to point B. He gave him a promise. He told the end from the beginning. Amen? Every one of us have been given a book full of promises. A book full of promises. There's 3,587 New Testament promises available to us as believers. Let me say it again. 3,857 promises that are available to those who are in Christ. A book full of promises. But you know what's so great about this? The one that wrote it can't lie. I want to read you a scripture real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Y'all got to give me a break because this is like a new baseball glove. It's not broke in. When I was a kid, I used to lay on top of mine, put oil on it, do everything I could. 2 Corinthians, Now, you listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to the scripture. "But as surely God is faithful." Everybody say, "God is faithful." God is faithful. "And the message to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me, Savalas, and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes." This is what I want you to see. Listen to this. "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So through him, the amen is spoken." It says it does not matter how many promises God has made. The answer to every one of them, if you're in Christ, is yes. It's not maybe. It's not no. It says right there, the answer is yes. So the key is, what does it mean to be in Christ? Because the access to the promise is to be in Christ. So what does it mean to be in Christ? John says this in the third chapter. John says this, that we know we're in him because he's in us. And whoever acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. In other words, a union. When I put my faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when I place myself in the cross, realizing that he didn't need to die, but he died for me. So when I put my faith in that, I become the cross. It was just a substitution. When I put my faith in that, I become one with that. And what he did on the cross is giving credit to me. I am justified because of what he did for me. But that's not the end of the story. When I put my faith in that he went in the grave and 3 days later he rose again and that he's alive and living and I call on his name and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. You know what he does? He puts himself in me. He puts himself inside me. I become in Christ. I'm adopted into the family of God. I am a son of the living God now. I've received an inheritance uncorruptible in heaven for me. I have access to the throne of God. I have access to every promise in this book. I have access. You know why? Not because of nothing I did, but because of what he did and what I believed. It's not based on my merit. It's based on what he did. I have access to every promise in here. Do they happen automatically? No. But they happen. They happen. My job is to believe them. So the very first P he gave them was this. He gave them a promise. Then it says, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And it says, they took him as he was in the boat with him. The second thing they gave him that we all have, they gave him his presence. He didn't send them alone. Matter of fact, he got in the boat with them. The Bible says that we are the temple of the living God. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you walk through the water, I'll be with you. When you go through the river, it won't sweep you away. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. We're the temple of the living God. God lives inside of us. Do you realize that? When you wake up, come on, Jesus, let's go. Let's go. For real. A lot of times we don't catch that. I don't catch it. But it is. I mean, think about this. I was in worship one day, and God spoke to me so vivid it was unreal. He said, Eric, I gave my body on the cross for you. Give me your body to live in. I shared that last time I preached. I remember I gave George a hug. You want another hug, George? Come on, bro. There you go. All right. Come on, man. But he gave his presence. We're not alone in this world, man. God is with us. God is with us. He's in us. He's all around us. Man, that's good news. That's good news. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. It says this. God says, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Think about what he's saying. He says, I will dwell in you, and I will walk in you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Man, that's good news. You're not alone in this world, man. God's got this. I've been in some lonely places before in life. Lonely places, man. No letters, no phone calls. In a 6x9 box with someone I couldn't stand. But I never was alone because God was with me. God never left me. This is what Jesus said. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Think about that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The very last words Jesus spoke to his disciples, he gave them the Great Commission. You know what he said? What was the last sentence of it? Anybody know? Come on, Pastor. What was the last sentence of it? Okay, you can't talk right now. I got you. That's my boy. I had to do it. You know it. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. I am always with you. Man, God knows we need him. One of my favorite Christian songs is, oh, God, I need you. God, I need you now. I don't need you tomorrow. I need you right now. Because without you, I might not make it to tomorrow. So he gave him his promise. He gave him his presence. And everybody say, ouch. Y'all got to say it. Say, ouch. ouch, because we're about to talk about the ouch right now. The third thing. You ready? It says, let us cross over to the other side. And they took him, he was in the boat, and also other little boats were with him. Keep that in mind. Other little boats were with him. And all of a sudden, a furious squall came up. In the waves, they were going to be swamped. But Jesus was asleep in a pillow on the stern. Third thing that we all got. Anybody know what it starts with a P, what that'd be? We all got problems. We all got problems. We all got problems in life. We do. We all got problems. But you know what's crazy? Jesus led him right into the problem. Jesus is omniscient. That means he knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. He knew exactly what he was doing when he told them, let's cross to the other side. He was going to lead them smack into the middle of a storm. That don't sound very religious, Brother Eric. It's not, but it's biblical. God let Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go through the fire. He was with them then. You know, I'll never forget, I had a cellmate one time. His name was Oscar Garcia. Called him Chucky. Chucky was a gang member. Matter of fact, he was a big gang member. He ran the whole unit. Ran the whole unit of a big Mexican gang. And I don't know why, but God, I was his cellmate. Man, talk about a storm. You know what? I never forget one day I came in and living all around us. We lived in a dormitory area, and living all around us was Chucky's little homies. All his little gang members lived around us. He had arranged it, paid money to get them all living in the same area. They'd have their little gang meetings there and everything. And here I am, a little redheaded Christian on fire for Jesus. And God put me right in the middle of it. And I'll never forget, man, I come in one day from lunch. And everybody was gone except Chucky. And Chucky was sitting on his bunk. And I come in and he says, Red, come here. And if y'all didn't know, I used to have red hair when I had some hair. Amen. He said, Red, come here. So I go over there and I said, what's up, Chucky? He goes, sit on my bunk. And then that's something, that's like a respect thing in there. You don't sit on nobody's bunk. And he wanted me to sit on his bunk, so I sat down. And he pulled a letter out and he says, look, man, I got this letter from home. And my sister's sick. And I don't know how to pray. But I know you can pray. Will you pray for my sister? I said, all right, Chucky, I got you, man. I said, I want to hold your hand. He said, no, we ain't going that far. So it wasn't a day involved. But we prayed. We prayed. And about a week later, he got a letter from home. His sister was well. And he was like, man, God answered. I said, yeah, I know God answered. Well, about a week later, Chucky got busted with some marijuana, and they shipped him. Took him off the unit, took him in segregation, and he got shipped off the unit. So about a month after that, I made parole. I was going home. But I had to go to a six-month treatment program before I could get out. And so about a week after I made parole, they called me out for the chain, which is the bus that takes you in the middle of the night. They call it a chain because you're chained together. So they put me on the chain, me and two other guys that were going to the program. And so we got on the bus, and we went to Huntsville. And we were going to go to Huntsville and spend the night. And the next morning, we were going to a private facility, and the van was going to pick us up and take us to the facility. So how it goes is this: you're on, like, there's cells on the bottom row and top row, and when you're on the chain, the boss man will come by with a sheet of paper and he'll say, cell 26, Indian, what's your number? And you got to give him back a number to verify it's you, so you can get, they'll open the door to let you out. So all of a sudden he called out, Johnson, cell 6, what's your number? Bradshaw, cell 8, what's your number? I'm in cell 7. He never called my number. I'm like, what? This ain't good. so So I can't go back to sleep. So I'm sitting up all night waiting, not thinking they're coming back to get me. Man, I'm going home. I'm going home. All night long, they never come back and got me. And I'm like, man, God, what's going on here? I've been faithful. I've been praying. I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. God, what's the deal? Where you at? One day goes by. I'm okay. 2 days goes by. I'm tripping. My faith went out the window. I ain't gonna lie. I got nervous. God gave me a scripture, and he said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord my God. And God was telling me, just trust me. Trust me, Eric. Trust me. 4 days went by, and all of a sudden they called me finally. Indian, what's your number? 569457. Come on out. You're going to classification. Classification? What the hell am I going there for? That's for reassignment. So I go in there, and they said, Mr. Indian, what's your number? I told him my number. He said, just want to let you know you've been assigned to the Smith unit in Lemisa, Texas. I said, whoa, no. I said, you made a mistake. I'm going home. I made parole. He looks at the paperwork. He goes, yeah, you made parole, but you ain't going home. You're going to Smith unit in Lemisa, Texas. Y'all know where Lemisa is? Man, it's about 12 hours towards the red sands in the desert out in Texas. I mean, it is way out there. So I go back to my cell, and I'm tripping, man. I'm like, man, God, where are you at, God? I'm supposed to be going home. So that night, they call me, put me on the bus, take me all the way out to Abilene, Texas first, to French Robinson units, one of the deadliest units in Texas prison system. I spend the night there. You walk off the bus, you can feel death on this unit. You can feel it. I mean, they're killing folks on this unit. And I go up in there, and they put me in a segregation cell overnight. And I'm like, God, where are you at, God? What is going on? Why is this happening to me? The next morning, they get me up, take me all the way to Lemisa, Texas, to Smith unit. I get to Smith unit. I get out, and I'm sitting there, and I get a housing assignment. The house has got the door, the unit's separated. It's got two sections. It's got building one, building two, building three, building four, and a fence that divides them. Building one and building two were on lockdown because they just found a bunch of homemade knives. 2 months after I left, this unit was the biggest riot in Texas prison history. So they put me on C Wing Dorm 1. I go in there, it's the only dorm that's not on lockdown. For some reason, they let them off of good behavior. So I go in there, and I get my stuff, and I'm about to walk in. Before I go in, the guard stops me. He says, hey, look, man, I'm just going to tell you. They're going to jump on you when you get in there. They're going to jump you. They do it to everybody. We're not going to write you a case, but we're not going to stop them. So I walk in there with my little red bag, and it was like the TV's blaring. Everybody's playing, you know, dominoes. And, man, I go in the dorm, and as soon as I walk in, it's like it just got silent. It's like everybody just turned and looked at me. And I'm sitting there just with my bag, and I'm saying, okay, God, I know you got me. You got me. I go to my cell, put my bag up, wait. Nobody ever comes in the room to jump me. And I'm like, God, where are you, God? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this, God? Why is this problem in my life right now? I didn't deserve this, God. I didn't deserve this. The next morning, they called Rec. And we were the only dorm up. They called Rec at 6:30 in the morning. And I was up. So I went to Rec. And I went on the rec yard, and you got one building here, two building over there, and they got little windows with bars on them so you can open your window and get fresh air. And I start walking around the track like this. Second lap, I walked. All of a sudden, I hear this voice, Red, Red, Red. I look up. I said, who's that? He said, it's me, Chucky, your old cellmate. I said, what's up, Chucky? He goes, he's real. He's real. He's real. I said, who's real? He said, God's real. I'm like, Chucky, I know he's real. He goes, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. I got a letter a week ago from home, and I prayed for the first time, and I told God, God, if you're real, send Eric Indian out here to pray for me. Let me tell you something. God sent me all the way across Texas to show someone he was real. This was Saturday morning. Sunday night, they knocked on my cell door, said, hey, we made a mistake. Get back on the bus. You're going back. Let me tell you something. God sent me all the way over there to show one person he was real. But I thought it was a problem. I thought it was a problem. But it wasn't a problem. You know what it was? It was an opportunity to God to display his power. That's the next P I want to talk about. God's power. God's power. Let me tell you something. The only way I would ever know God was my deliverer if I was ever in captivity. The only way I could know God is my healer if I'd ever been sick. The only way I could ever know God is my true provider if I had a need. See, God was going to reveal something about himself that they didn't know yet. They knew he could heal. They knew he could preach. But they didn't know he had power over the winds and the waves yet. They didn't know that. See, I had to learn that God was sovereign. I had to learn that. So God allowed me to experience going way out there to let me know, no matter how bad it looks, I'm in control. I'm in control. I'm in control. Don't matter how bad it looks, I'm in control. God wants to display his power in our life. He wants to show us that he is the God of the impossible. So he lets us get into impossible situations so he can show us he's the God of the impossible. Come on, man. Come on. Man, there's nothing too hard for God. I got a scripture I wrote down. I want to read it. Man. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who was able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God's not limited on power. What did they say? He got up and he rebuked the winds. And he spoke to the waves. Can you see wind? Can you see wind? You can't see wind. You can see the effects of wind, but you can't see wind. You know what he did? He got up and rebuked what couldn't be seen. Y'all got to catch that. Because what couldn't be seen was causing what could be seen. Sometimes we need to start rebuking what we can't see. Because what we can't see is causing what we can see. Y'all gonna catch that when you go home. One other thing I want to say, and I missed it. It says other little boats were with him. Why has God got that in there? Doesn't talk about the other boats. It said other little boats were with him. Nobody ever preaches on the other boats. You know why that's in there? Because God wants us to know we ain't the only one going through something. Them other boats went through the same storm they did. Sometimes we're so caught up in our own problems, we think we're the only one. Man, my favorite scripture in Proverbs is this. It says, a generous soul will prosper, and he that refreshes others will himself be refreshed. In other words, when I get out of my problem, and I help somebody else with their problem, God just takes care of my problem. Think about that. I get refreshed when I help other people. Man, God wants to display his power in our life. You know, three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God said in Isaiah, he said these words, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, he says these words. First one, he says, he that created you, O Israel, he that formed you, O Jacob, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, because I am your God. And then he turns around and says these words. When you go through the water, I'll be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they won't sweep you away. And when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Now, Isaiah was written 100 years before Daniel. Right? Pastor? 200 years? Okay, 200 years. I stand corrected by my mentor. Amen? I ain't got no problem with that, bro. I love that guy, man. I can't help it. He's a great guy. But think about this. You know the story. King Nebuchadnezzar makes a statue of himself 90 foot tall of gold. And he gets influenced by some of his people in his little committee to make a law that whoever don't bow down and worship your statue shall be thrown into the blazing fiery furnace. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got a covenant with God. And they're not about to bow down and worship anything but the true God. So Nebuchadnezzar calls them in and he says, look, is it true? Is it true what they say, that you won't bow down and worship my God? And they said, we can't bow your God. And God can deliver us from the fire. He will deliver us from the fire. But even if he don't, we're not going to bow down to you. What do you think gave them faith to say that? You ever thought about that? What gave them faith to say that? I don't know about you, but somebody talk about throwing me in the furnace. I'm going to get out of here. Think about that. I was reading that one day. I said, God, how did they get that faith? He said, you don't remember what I wrote 200 years ago in the book of Isaiah? I told them when they go through the fire, they won't be burned. They took that word literally. And what happened? When they got in the fire, God was with them. God was with them. And he went through the fire with them. Here today, man, I know we all got problems. I know everybody in here has some type of problem in your life right now. I got about 20 of them. But I know this, that it's just an opportunity for God to display his power in my life. Just another opportunity for God to show me what he can do. That's all it is. Just an opportunity. Last one. Brad said I got 2 minutes. No, I'm just kidding, Brad. Is it, if when you're joking and you lie, is that a lie? It's not? Okay. I done lost my glasses. I'm doing good up here. See, thank y'all. Look, this right on my sign, too. It says, preach the word. Amen. I wrote that up there for Brad. Amen. 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 Look, I want to read one scripture to you real quick before I move on. But it's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. It's Apostle Paul writing. This is what he said. He said, I don't want you to be unformed, brothers and sisters. So, ladies, you're not exempt from this one, all right? He's talking to y'all, too. He said, do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. Listen to this. We're under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we just were despaired even of life. Paul was going through it. Paul said he was burned beyond measure. He said, I don't even want to live no more. This stuff's so bad, I don't even want to live no more. So what he said, I didn't make that up. That's what the word said. That was Paul speaking. He said, things are so bad right now in my life, I don't even want to live no more. Everywhere I go, I got a messenger from Satan to buffet me. I'm shipwrecked, I'm beaten, done been banged in the head about 20 times by some bricks, stones. Been beaten 39 times, minus one. I mean, come on, everywhere Paul went, he ran into trouble. But Paul was one of the greatest apostles who ever lived. Paul's still changing lives today through the work God did through him. But listen to what he said. He's going to tell you why he went through all that. Listen to this. Indeed, we received the sentence of death. We felt we received the sentence of death. Listen to this. But this happened, Pastor Brad. This happened so that we would learn not to rely on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead. In other words, Paul said, man, I had to learn not to trust in my own ways, but I had to learn to trust in the God who does the impossible. The God of the impossible. I don't know about you, but I ain't never raised no one from the dead. Only God can do that. So that's an impossible situation for a human to do. And Paul said, I had to learn to rely on the God of the impossible. You know what your problem is? It's just an opportunity for God to show himself off. That's all it is. Next time you got a problem, take it to God and say, God, this is just an opportunity for you to show yourself. That's all it is. God wants to display his power in your life. Last P. Anybody know what it is? Come on, somebody. Y'all seen this, didn't y'all? Let me tell you something. I want to read this to you. John 16:33. You know, if we stay focused on the promises and we stay focused on his presence, we trust in his power. When we have a problem, we can have peace. We can have peace. We can have peace. But what happens is when we lose sight of the promises and we lose sight of his presence and we focus only on the problem and doubt his power, why are you fearful and why do you have no faith? Man, they're no different than we are. They had the five P's just like we got the five P's. We all got the five P's. Amen, George? You got the five P's? Come on, five P's. We got the five P's. We all got promise from God. If you're blood-bought, born again, Christian, you got his presence. And all of us got problems. Jesus said, in this world, you will have what? Tribulation. You will have tribulation in this world. He promised it. It's not like you might have it. You know what tribulation is? If you look up the word in Greek, it'd be like something that's real loosely, like some paper that's just loosely set, and you kind of squish it. It's like stress, pressure. Jesus said, in this world that's under the control of the enemy and separated from me, you're going to have stress. You're going to have pressure. But he says, son, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Now, look, I want you, this is what I always said. I always quoted that. I read this scripture the other night, and God just showed me something. I'm going to share this and quit. Promise you. Right on time, Brad. Brad said, after 8, I got to start paying. Man, praise the Lord. But no, man, listen to this. Listen to scripture. Do you now believe? Jesus said a time is coming, in fact, has come when all will be scattered, each to their own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone because the Father's with me. Talking about what was going to happen in the near future in Gethsemane. He said, listen to this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And then he goes on to say, in this world you will have tribulation. I never caught that first sentence before. He said, I told you these things. What did he tell them? The word. God's saying, I gave you my word so you can have peace. I've given you my promises. And I've given you my presence so that when you do, not if, when you do have problems, you can trust in my power. And if you do that, you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm going to be bold. I know there's a lot of people in here, including myself, that have problems right now. Might not be you personally. Might be someone involved in your life. It might be a child. It might be a relationship. It might be finances. It might be health. But Pastor Brad's going to come up here, and we're going to pray tonight for anybody that's got a problem. Let me tell you something. You know what happens when you get your butt cheeks up off that chair and you come up here? You're displaying faith in God's power that God can handle your problem. Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Think about it. How many times, and I just, no show of hands, because I'm guilty. How many times you've been sitting here and you really know you need prayer, but for some reason you feel glued to the seat? When the pastor says, look, let us pray about your problem because where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. Where two or three touch and agree concerning anything they ask by my Father, it will be done for him. But we sit and we let the opportunity pass us by. We let the opportunity pass us by. So tonight, man, if I could get Gene, come on up here, will you? George, you got a problem or you want to pray? Come on, baby. I knew you did. No, on a serious note, I know I joke a lot because humor's good. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. But I'm being serious as I can be right now. If you have a problem tonight, we're family here. I feel more welcome in this church than I do around my own family. And that's the truth. I know y'all love me. I know you do. And I feel comfortable here. So why shouldn't I share my burdens with my family? Why shouldn't I? So right now, man, I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm not going to do it. If you got a problem, you want us to pray? Come on up here. Come on. Come on. If you got a problem, come on up here. I know it works. See, you led up to this by talking about that. Pastor Brad, come on. Come on. Y'all just, who else can pray? Doug, come on, pray for us. Come on, Doug. We're just going to make a line. We'll just pray. We'll just pray.